أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقال الله عز وجل: ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace and blessings be upon His noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we are in the middle of the month of Ramadan. Today is the 15th fast of Ramadan, and they have come very quickly, and they will also leave us very quickly. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to reap all of the rewards in these days and nights of Ramadan, and enable us to seek His mercy, to seek His protection, and also His forgiveness. Ameen. For the last few days, we've discussed in quite a lot of detail the seven ways that the parents do communicate in a negative manner, in a destructive manner to their children. And then yesterday, alhamdulillah, we discussed seven positive ways how parents should actually communicate with their children in a constructive and productive manner, and how you can actually win over the hearts and the mind of your children. So today, inshallah al-aziz, we come to another session in which we'll discuss another aspect of family values, but more importantly here, related to the parents and the children in terms of discipline. And this is a very big aspect of the parental responsibility, as well as something that children receive on a daily basis. So, should parents be parents who are fearful, basically children who are fearful of the parents? Should parents be those who are constantly thought of, that my parents are going to knock the living daylights out of me, or they're going to send me to Pakistan, or my dad's going to take his belt off or his shoes, or X, Y, and Z? So should you fear your parents? That's a very important question. And at the same time, children sometimes make their parents fear them. So there needs to be a balance. So Mapio shouldn't be afraid of the children, and similarly, the children shouldn't be afraid of the parents either. So it should be parents who are not constantly there to punish their children, to penalize their children. And if we just follow the three simple principles that we discussed for the role of the father and the role of the mother, if we just follow those principles as individuals and as leaders and as parents, then inshallah al-aziz, our relationships will be much more fruitful. So making sure that you are friends with your children, befriending your children, using simple language, emotional language, and communicating with them with your feelings rather than pure logic or dictatorship. And then most importantly, we discussed also appreciating them and respecting them as individuals, because they are who they are. So respecting them, speaking to them effectively, and also befriending them. Keep these three principles in your mind, and inshallah al-aziz, you'll become more successful parents. So we all know that parents, quite willy-nilly and quite regularly, they punish their children. And this is somewhat of a pandemic. And pandemic is something which is widespread in our communities, in our societies. Even though we hush-hush and we keep it under the carpet, and we say, you know, don't you dare tell the social security, even though the children, they know the numbers, and the cheaters or the teachers at school are always looking out for bruises and bumps and everything else and cuts on their children. But nevertheless, this is something which is seen to be the norm and also seen to be acceptable within our communities, and it's not. This is not the norm for parents to be punishing their children, and neither is this something which is acceptable. Because remember, we take our values, we take our morals, we take our lessons, we take our manners, all from the Quran and Sunnah. We take it from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions quite explicitly that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never in his life, never raised his hand to any of his wives or to any child. This is the statement of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And it's very easy for you to raise your hand It's very easy to, you know, clip your child or even your wife when you're angry, when you're frustrated. But look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, all of the young Sahaba, the toddlers, the boys and the girls that were all around the Prophet ﷺ. But never once did any Sahabi say, or did any wife ever complain or say, the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand on me. And this is a very important lesson for us all, because whilst we as parents do have the right, we do have the right to discipline our children, but that doesn't mean that that's the first thing that you do. That should be the very, 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 very last thing that you do. And even when you do it, it needs to be for the right reasons and not for the wrong reasons. So there are various forms of punishment that we will discuss today. There's the verbal punishment, which where the parent will, you know, chengiya sunasan putar dinu, you know, you're this and you're that, you're flan, dimkan, X, Y, and Z. And this is a form of punishment as well. Then there's the physical punishment, which is one of the worst punishments that you can give your children. Then there's the emotional punishment that you can give a child as well. And there's the mental punishment. All of these are punishments that a parent should not be using on a daily basis. It should be very, very rare, not once in a blue moon. It should be once in perhaps even your lifetime, if that. So parents need to realize this and make sure that they are not abusing their power, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a responsibility to take care of the children, not to punish them, because punishment is solely really in essence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The parent guides the child, it nurtures the child and it corrects the child and molds the child in the correct way and necessary manner, but he doesn't always punish the child. One thing for parents to understand is that if you are regularly punishing your child, then every time you punish them, the next time you punish them, you'll have to do something more severe. Today is just a shout, okay? And tomorrow it'll be even louder. And the third day, then it'll be a clip. And then the fourth day or the fourth incident, it'll have to be a bit more severe than a clip. Then it'll be more severe and more severe and more severe until you run out of options of what to do. And the only thing you can do is kick them out or send them to Pakistan, but even then, that has its own problems as well. What happens is when you start punishing your child on a regular basis, psychologists tell us that it desensitizes them. Desensitization is basically a natural process where things no longer mean anything to you. And I'll give you a much more simple example. The first time in your life when you saw a dead body, when you saw blood, when you saw somebody's organs blown up into pieces, when you saw somebody mutilated and killed and butchered on TV, you have a huge shock to the system. You know, your stomach will be upset, your mind, you'll be struggling to breathe, and you'll find it very, very difficult for you to digest and for you to understand and comprehend what is happening. You'll be completely disgusted with that particular scenario. But if you watch it again and again and again, which we do, then it no longer affects us. We no longer have that shock or that surprise or that horrible feeling in our stomach. And you can all go home today, you can watch the news, and BBC will show you many things. So many other channels will show you what's happening in Syria, what's happening in Iraq, what's happening in such and such country. We see those pictures, there's no emotion, no feeling, and then we just move on. And even the presenters, they will say 100 people were killed today, they were tortured today, they were murdered. And then the next thing will be, well, this is what happened in football. And the smile, the tone and everything, there's no change in their body language, there's no expression, there's nothing different for them, because it's become normal for them to talk about murder, talk about bodies and all of these things. And this is the same thing with us. We will see those bodies and we won't flinch, we'll just carry on. We might say a dua, we might say, oh Allah Ta'ala, forgive us, oh Allah, protect us, but then we'll just move on. There's no change in our heart or in our mind. And this is the same thing for our children. The first time you hit your child will be very upset. They'll be very hurt and they'll realize they've done something really, really wrong. They've done something to upset the parent. The second time, they'll be a little bit less upset. Then the fourth time, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, less and less and less and less, until you slap them, it doesn't affect them, as they say in our language, dito again. Deed is basically, you know, that it doesn't affect them. And this happens with teachers as well. They shout and shout all the time to students, koi fikarni, koi sharamni, and they continue. So what, even the teachers are, you know, limited to what they can do. But most importantly, we're talking about parents, that the more you hit your child, the less it will affect them and the less their behavior will change. So therefore, this should be something which is used once in your lifetime, or something which is used extremely, extremely rarely. Otherwise, then it will not have the desired effect. And by you regularly punishing your child, you'll only actually achieve one thing, which is the child will begin to hate you. The child won't think what I did was right or wrong, acha, bura, all of these things. No. They'll stop thinking about those kind of things. Why? Because they know hamesha maar pendi. Theek hai? So inevitably they'll end up just hating you. And as they hate you, then you will have a loss of respect. Before, they respect you, they look at you, they don't look into your eyes. Theek hai? They keep their eyes down. They keep their heads down. All of these things, you know, we see that sharam, haya, that adab in a child. But the more you hit them, the more you hit them, then they start looking at you directly, and then they'll answer you, then they'll do all of these things. Because why? They originally started hating you, and because of that hate, then they start losing that respect, and they lose that adab towards a parent. But who is the fa'il, basically? Who is the doer of all of these things? Don't blame it on the child. Because the child did have respect for you, the child did look up towards you, the child was learning all of those beneficial and necessary manners and etiquettes and values, but you, as they say, you kicked it out of them. You beat it out of them. So it's the parents' fault at why children actually go away on the wrong track. So don't use punishment on a regular basis, whether that's physical, whether that's verbal, or whether that's emotional punishment. This should be something which is extremely, extremely rare. You should always try to look at the alternatives. And the alternatives are always better than punishing. The Prophet ﷺ mentions in a beautiful hadith recorded in Sahih Muslim that إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forbearing. Forbearing basically means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sees our sins, does He not? Of course He does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, hears, sees everything that we say and we do and we feel. But just ask yourself as a parent now, for those who will become parents, imagine every time you did a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished you straight away. Kya zindagi? How much love would you have towards Allah ta'ala then? What would your relationship be between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to punish us for our sins. Yes, but look at how forbearing, how forgiving, how haleem, and how, you know, patient Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and He gives us a chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance. You might get a little bit bimari here and there, and you fall ill. You might get a little bit of nuksan in your wealth or in your karobar, but these are tiny things. In comparison to the sins that we do, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished us the way we punish our children every single time they do something, sadakushna rajave, will be completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. So look at the hadith yet again. Inna Allaha Rafiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very soft. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forbearing. Wa yuhibbu rifq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who are also forbearing, who are also soft natured in all of their actions and in all of their deeds. And this applies most importantly to parents. That yes, it's very easy to punish your child. Who's going to stop you? Nobody's going to stop you. Your son, your daughter, how dare anybody come and stop you? But this is not the way for you to be doing things. You need to be rafiq. You need to be layin. You need to be soft. You need to be forbearing. Just the way that you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be forgiving and merciful on you and the sins that you do. If every time we did a sin and we got punished, that's it. We'd only get punished once and sada kam ho jave. So be and treat your children the way that you would like to be treated. Treat your children the way that you would like to be treated, and you will see a difference in the relationship. The hadith carries on, and the Prophet ﷺ mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kindness makes anything beautiful. That if you are kind towards your children instead of violent towards your children, then your children will become more beautiful. So kindness in any particular action will make whatever action that you are doing more beautiful, more grand, more pleasing. And the hadith says, whilst violence towards any particular action or deed actually dishonors it and destroys that thing. So you can be kind towards something, and especially your children, and then your children will grow to be more beautiful, more honorable, more respectful towards you. Or you can punish them and be violent, as the hadith mentions, and you'll actually only end up dishonoring yourself and dishonoring your children, because by you punishing them regularly, especially, you're teaching your child. Remember, everything that you do, you teach your child something. When you punish them, you're teaching your child that you have no patience. You're teaching your child you have no sabr. Even though you may say, innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab, that Allah Ta'ala rewards those people, you know, who are patient, bighayri hisab, without any hisab whatsoever. But where's your sabr for your child? Where's your forbearance? Where's your hilm for towards your child? So what you are teaching your child is that you are impatient, that you cannot control your actions, you cannot control your tongue, you cannot control your words, you cannot control your anger, and therefore it is okay for a person who is stronger. This is what you're teaching your child when you are punishing them. You are teaching them it is okay for a person who is stronger to punish a person who is weaker, because that is the scenario. The parent is strong, physically strong, emotionally strong, financially strong, all of these things, the parent is stronger in every single way. And when you punish your child is learning that stronger people can punish weaker people. They can persecute weaker people. And this is what's happening with our leaders. They are strong, they are powerful, and they are punishing all of those people who are weak beneath them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strong, but He does not punish us. And we are strong, but we should not be punishing our children, because you are teaching them the wrong ethics, the wrong values. Yes, there comes a time when you do need to discipline them, but the way we discipline our children and punish them, jutti lali, belt kar liya, and we close the door, and we say, hon kithe nasse, we even threaten them, nas. Chup chitte chup nahi. We say these kind of things as well to make it even more severe. Last time tu bach gaya, say is dafa tu nahi bachan laga. These are the things that we say to our children. But you're not actually teaching them something beneficial. You're teaching them to be a tyrant. You're teaching them to be a despot. You're teaching them to be a horrible person. So imagine these things that you have taught your child, when they grow up, how will they behave towards their wives? How will they behave towards their own children? And then when they do become violent towards their wives or their children, then by Allah, which is wallahi, I'm taking a qasam, you will be responsible for that as well. You will have a share in their violence because they learnt it from you. Yes, that person individually will be responsible for the majority of his actions because he's in control of his body and his actions, but you will also be responsible because you taught him something negative. You taught him something destructive. Remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that every time you teach somebody something beneficial, then you get the reward of that good deed when he teaches that to the next person, the next person, and the next person, up until the day of Qiyamah. You get all the rewards because you taught that good thing at the beginning. But this also applies for the negative things and for the wrong things. If you teach somebody something negative, something destructive, every time they do it, unanu guna milsi, but you will also get guna because you were the original one who taught them that thing. So if your children, when they are mature, when they are married, whatever the scenario, situation, at home, at work, in their community, with their neighbors, in their friends, if they become violent, and the underlying and the root cause and the reason was because they learnt it from you, then you will be responsible on the day of Qiyamah as well, because you are the source of that particular violence. So it's very important for parents to realize the destructive nature of violence and not to abuse their power. Not to abuse their power of punishment, or not to willy-nilly serve out punishment left, right, and center and say, that's it, tiri khair nahi hai. So this is a very, very important thing. In another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that those people who are merciful, those people who are forbearing, those people who are forgiving, are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one mashur hadith, as you will all know, that the strong person is he who can control his anger. Not the person who can overcome an enemy, or wrestle another enemy, or win a fight or a dispute or anything like that. That is not a strong person. The strong person is he who can control his anger. And remember, the shaitan is constantly poking at you, constantly whispering at you, lose your cool, lose your anger, mardik, hara. And the reason why we actually do it is because we can't channel our own energy correctly. Because we go to work, manager tells us off. Our friends, our family, our khandan, they tell us off. We can't shout and scream at the government. We can't shout and scream at our wives. We can't do anything because we are constantly constrained by society, by our community, by our culture, by the government, all of these laws. So the one place where we can do whatever we want to without any rules and restrictions is on the kids. And then we, and then that's it. But this actually only reflects and shows our inability, how incomplete we are, and how we are not good Muslims and not good parents. Because parenting is more about learning about yourself. And this is what I teach, you know, people as well, especially who come for advice. They say, you know, how can I become a good parent? I say to them, you yourself need to reform first. If you become a good individual, then you'll become a good parent. If you have the tendency to be angry, to be horrible, to lie, to cheat, to deceive, to gamble, to take interest, to do all of these bad things, then you will automatically transfer these things over to your children. But if you yourself reform, if you reform yourself, then you'll become a good parent, you'll become a good individual, a good Muslim, a good citizen, all of these things by default. The process and the transformation begins with you. It doesn't begin with your children that you just give them everything, evikar, 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 but don't do any of it yourself. You yourself need to reform before your children actually reform. So by punishing your children, you don't actually change their behavior. What you do is for that moment, is just you tell them that, you know, what you did was wrong, or you actually punish them and say, this is how I express my anger. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he was angry, he would communicate his frustration and his anger. He wouldn't say ithiya and slap somebody, how dare you do this in the masjid. He wouldn't come and go home and he was angry with the Sahaba Kram and slap his wives or do other things to his wives. No. He controlled and channels his energy and frustration and anger, and this is what we need to do as parents. You need to control yourself, you need to challenge your energy. Come to the masjid, do wudu, pray your namaz, get away from the situation rather than explode. And this is what parents unfortunately do. They just explode because they can't control themselves or their actions. So punishment is often, and the majority of the time, it is misplaced. You're at the wrong place at the wrong time and you can't control yourself and channel your energy in the correct way, and therefore you end up doing something to your children. Whereas if you actually reflect upon it half an hour later, or a day later, then you realize what my child did was nothing. Ki ho gaya? He just spilled some water, or he just broke a plate, or he said this, or he did this, or this happened, or that happened. Then you realize how trivial the action actually was, and how severe the punishment was, and it was disproportionate to the actual things that he did. Child, and beating a child and punishing a child is an easy target. You know, how many of us think twice before we are in front of another person who is our weight, our size, our height, and they make us angry? We think 10 times, well, he might beat me up, or he might go to the police, he might do this, he might do that. Then we calculate the risks, and then we walk away. Or we just do tutu meme and we walk away. But because the child is weak, he's smaller, he's powerless, pura gussa. That's it, kar denne, unde te puri zindagi da gussa kar denne. You know, we remember all of our, you know, bad memories. Oh, he did this to me, my mom did this to me, my dad did this to me, this is what happened in school, I remember this is what happened in the masjid. Sara gussa is all there, bubbling up, and you're keeping it, and you just explode with your children. Whereas a true Muslim, a true mu'min, a true parent is he who channels his energy and focuses and takes away this anger and this hatred out of his heart and his mind and doesn't keep it inside him all the time. Because what happens if you're constantly keeping it all in? It's bubbling and bubbling and it's going to explode. It's energy. Why do children become hyperactive? They have too much energy. They drink too much fizzy drinks. They have too much chocolate. All of these things, the natural consequence of that is the body has too much energy inside itself, and the body needs to release this energy. So the child will become hyperactive. It will run up, down, walk fast, talk, all of these things. Why? Because it's not completely in the child's control, because it is the body reacting to the energy which is contained within, you know, the muscles and everywhere else, and it needs to release that energy in order to find the balance. And then you see after a couple of hours the child can't down because it's released all of that energy. And similarly, this is what you need to try to understand, the underlying causes and reasons of children doing things in the way that they do it, and should you be allowing them to channel their energy in a good way, or be punishing them and say, But try to understand why they are doing these things as well. And it's important for you to look at the root cause. So if you are constantly violent with your children, they lose the manners, they lose their respect, they become desensitized, and violence also becomes part of their nature. Remember, if you slap a child, the child, when they are young, they will slap you back. When you smile, the child smiles back. When you are happy, the child is happy as well. When you are angry, the child will also become angry. So violence and punishment is one of those things that a child is learning, and it is seeping into their mainframe. It is seeping into their mind and their body that this is how I need to express myself. So when they don't get anything, then they will first scream the way you used to scream at them. And when they can't get their way, then they will come and they will hit you and they'll say, I want this. And then when you don't do something, then they'll do something even more severe and more worse and more worse and worse. Why? Because they've learned it from you, because violence has become part of their nature. So try to understand your children, and also try to understand and control yourself. Children are hardwired to learn and to learn from their mistakes. So if they're picking up something, if they're doing something and they damage something or they break something, this isn't because they're doing it deliberately, it's because this is how they learn. Children learn by exploration. They learn, they look at things, they analyze things, they see what does it do, what doesn't it do. They may end up breaking something or doing something. But if you are constantly punishing them whilst they are developing and exploring their surroundings, then you will prevent their growth. And they will not develop and they will not grow, and then they will become inward and they will become more violent towards themselves and towards other people. So this is natural for a children to be making mistakes, to be breaking things and doing things, and you should be channeling that energy in the correct way and not stifling that growth by punishing them and say, you did this and you did that. No, this is very important. So similarly, when your child is actually trying to do something correct, but they end up damaging something or breaking something, instead of punishing them first, you should try to sit down with them and learn all of those principles and remember those principles that we talked about, and just communicate with them, use simple logic, simple explanation, and say, this is what you did, but this is what you should try to do in the future. This is the correct way of doing something. Umar ibn Abi Salama, he was a Sahabi of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. More importantly than that, he was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was his, he was related to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was five or six years of age, Umar ibn Abi Salama. And there was a serving plate of food in front of him. A 5 year old, a 6 year old, you know, he's still very, very young. So he sees a big, plate, of food. And as you know, in the Arab tradition, they have a massive, plate, and everybody, eats from the same plate. So there's a massive plate of food in front of him, and, who wouldn't, be hungry? So this is a 5-6 year old. He sees this huge amount of plate of food in front of him, and then he starts gorging at all of the food. So he takes a bit from here, a bit from there, a bit from there. So everywhere, basically, he gets his hands into the entire plate, and he's gorging and stuffing his face. And the Prophet ﷺ sees this. And the Prophet ﷺ could have what? Slapped him, shouted at him, screamed, punished him, and said, "Dafa hoja, nikal ja." This is something that we may do. Is sare na khana si tu khana kharab karta, mix ho gaya, ye ho gaya, wo ho gaya, jarasim lag gaya, zaya ho. All of these things we'll say to him. Look at the Prophet ﷺ and his reaction to this 5-6 year old. He gets the boy and he places him on his lap. He places him on his lap and he says, "Son, when you eat, always say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim." Because remember, when you eat and you say Bismillah, it fills your stomach up because the shaitan is not eating with you. And it prevents the shaitan from eating. And it fills you up much more quick, and there's much more barakah in the food that you eat. So it's very important to note all of the things that he does. So the Prophet ﷺ doesn't shout, doesn't scream, just picks him up, places him on his knee, and he says, "Beta, when you eat, always say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then always eat with your right hand." And then he said, "Always eat from that which is in front of you." So look at these three steps the Prophet ﷺ used. On his lap, so bring him close to him, then teach him kindly on how to actually eat in the correct way. And the reason why the Prophet ﷺ did is because he understood the underlying cause and the reason for his behavior. And what was the reason and the cause for his behavior? Umar ibn Abi Salama, his father had passed away. So what happens when you become an orphan? You need to compensate for the loss of something. So some people, you know, especially a young child, when their father is no longer there, then they will compensate by overeating, by oversleeping, or by doing something, because they're trying to compensate for the loss of that emotional comfort. And that's why they call emotional eating. They have this binge eating, binge drinking, they have emotional eating as well, because you're compensating for the loss of something else. Whether it's, the, you know, there's a darkness in your heart or the loss of somebody in your heart. And why do women always love to have, you know, ice cream when they break up from a rishta or a relationship? Because it fills that void. You're compensating for the loss of a boyfriend or a girlfriend. This is what they do. Similarly, this young boy, he's compensating for the loss of his father. And the Prophet ﷺ understands this. So then he brings him close to him, places him on his knee so that he can feel like, I have still somebody who is close to me. I have somebody who is there to protect me, to take care of me. And then the Prophet ﷺ teaches him those very important manners instead of punishing him. But what do we do in these kind of situations? We will punish them first, shout at them first, and then perhaps maybe later when we ourselves are calm, then we will say, Oi, putar, bismillah badhiya kar, sadhiya tanal khaya kar, thoda khaya kar, itu khaya kar. But then it's too late because you've punished them and then you've taught them a bad thing and then they will not actually listen to you. So the consequences of punishing your children, that it prevents learning and it prevents development of the child. It also takes away the positive aspects of a child's fitrat and their natural way of learning. And when you punish them for committing a mistake, rather than punishing them, you should find a solution. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ did. He didn't punish him. He found a solution, gave him comfort, gave him proximity, then gave him good tarbiyah. And don't punish your children purely because you are angry, because this will have a negative effect on the child's development and the way that they perceive you, and it will only confuse a child. Similarly, try to understand a child from their lens, from their eyes, and this is a very important thing. For example, a mother or a father, they may be cooking a big meal for somebody, mehman aane lage, sheikh sahab aa rahe hain, koi rishtedar aa rahe hain, imam sahab aa rahe, jo bhi hai. So a guest is coming to your home, so the wife is busy preparing and cooking the meals, the husband is busy and he's cleaning up the whole house, and then their children, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, they wake up, theek hai, unhone koi hosh nahi, koi pata nahi, they just woken up. And what does the child do when they wake up? Naturally, they want to play, or they want the attention of their father or their mother. So they go to the mother, mom's busy, dafa ho ja, go to your father, unda sarkha. And the father's busy cleaning up, dafa ho ja. So the child naturally will go and try to amuse themselves and make themselves busy. So what will a child do, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old? What will a child do? They'll bring out their toys. So the mother and the father who have spent the last hour or 2 hours cleaning up and preparing, when they come back into the room, they see there's khilad everywhere. Toys are everywhere, the sofas everywhere, the cushions everywhere. The mother flips, the father flips, and their anger is misplaced. Because they're not seeing from the child's perspective. Because the child's woken up, the child doesn't realize mehman are coming. The child doesn't realize you spent the last hour cleaning up or taking care of all of these things. The child is simply, in his mind and his eyes, just playing, enjoying himself, keeping himself busy, keeping out of trouble. They're just playing. And when you flip and you shout and you scream and you punish them and you hit them and say, "Hey, tera pyo saaf kar si, teri maa saaf kar si," you've just confused the child even more, and they've just realized, I was playing, I haven't done anything wrong, and I'm just getting punished for it. So understanding children from their lens, from their perspective, and also understanding the root causes of things is very important for a parent. Not just, you know, upur understanding a child and their behavior, but inwardly as well, mentally as well, try to understand your child and their development, what they're going through. And that is why the first verse that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, related to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيزُ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, that if you were harsh-hearted, if you were stern, if you were angry, if you were constantly flipping, people would not come towards you, they'd run a mile from you. And similarly, this same verse applies to parents. If you are constantly punishing your children, constantly flipping, constantly stern, your children will not come to you. They will go to other people. And when they make relationships with other people, with people that you don't like or don't approve of, then it's not their fault. It's because you've pushed them away, because you were constantly flipping at them for all of the things that they were doing, which was natural for them, because that's part of their mental development, that's part of their physical development. So make sure that you understand, and you don't punish them unintentionally, and you don't punish them deliberately, and you don't punish them willy-nilly. Another way of punishing your child is, one of your son or one of your daughter may be good, so you give a huge amount of effort and energy and focus and concentration towards one child, and you deliberately don't give attention and focus to the other child. Why? Because you are punishing that child. Remember, there's different forms of punishment. So by giving too much love and affection to one child and ignoring the other child, you are emotionally punishing that child as well. You shouldn't be doing this either, because this has a huge effect, because not only will your child have a hatred towards you, but you are instilling hatred between siblings. Because then that son will start hating his own brother, will start hating his own sister. Why? Because you prefer that son or daughter over your other son, and that son doesn't understand it, because you haven't expressed it, you haven't communicated it in the correct way, and you've gone about punishing them in the wrong manner. Emotionally punishing them, mentally punishing them, you're playing with their mind. Children are very easily confused. You know, even human beings are very, very complex. So if you try to do something and your child doesn't understand it, then obviously they're going to get the wrong end of the stick. And who's responsible for that? It's the parent who's responsible. Hassan and Hussein, a beautiful example from Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. And this is why it's important for parents to always treat their children equally. Because if not, then you will be unintentionally or deliberately perhaps punishing one child over the other emotionally and mentally. The Prophet ﷺ went to his daughter's house, Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Imam Hassan was there. And Imam Hassan, he wanted a glass of water. So he said to his nana, "I want some water, pani," as children say. So the Prophet ﷺ, he stood up and he went to get a glass of water for Imam Hassan. As he was returning, Imam Hussein woke up. Originally, both of them are there. Imam Hassan is awake and he's asked for water. Imam Hussein is asleep. And then he wakes up, and as soon as he sees the water, he goes directly to the Prophet ﷺ and tries to grab the water from the Prophet ﷺ. As a nana, as a parent, what would you do? Because you know your child isn't doing it deliberately. You know that your child is just wanting water. But nevertheless, the Prophet ﷺ, he did not want to hurt the feelings of Imam Hassan. Because Imam Hassan has asked him for the water, and therefore he's expecting the water. And when he sees that the Prophet ﷺ is giving Hussein's water to Hassan, then he's going to feel like, wait a minute, why am I being, you know, punished for, what have I done? Why am I not being treated equally? So when Imam Hassan goes and asks the Prophet ﷺ for the water, the Prophet ﷺ does not give Imam Hassan the water. He says, no, Hussein asked me for the water first, and therefore I will give the water to him first. Then after giving the water to Hussein, then the Prophet ﷺ fills the same cup of water, then he gives it to Hassan, and he treats them equally. And this is what you need to do as parents as well. Don't prefer, yes, in your heart you may love one particular child, but when you express that love and you start differentiating between your own children, then you will be creating a rift between your own children. You need to hug your children the same, you need to kiss your children the same, you need to give them the same time, same opportunity, same love, same affection, same wealth and same money. You need to give them the same, otherwise you yourself are punishing them for something they have not done. And you're preferring one over the other. So we need to learn from all of these examples and ask ourselves, are we physically torturing and punishing our children? Are we mentally punishing our children? Are we emotionally punishing our children? And if you are doing it for all of these reasons, and however you do approach it, then know that it is the wrong reason. Why? Because our principles are from the Quran. Our principles are from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is, we don't punish. We don't raise our hands. If you do, and obviously it's something which is extremely severe, then there is a way of punishing where you don't leave a mark, where you don't instill so much fear or hatred in the heart of the child that the child will run a mile away from you. You do it solely so that what they realize what they have done is incorrect, but not in a way where you bruise them, where you break their arms or you fracture their bones or anything like that. Inshallah, Aziz, we'll discuss that perhaps tomorrow, inshallah. But nevertheless, everything that we've discussed today is very important as parents, as leaders, as individuals, for us not to go to the first option, which is the default option for us, which is to punish, to shout, to scream, scream, to hurt, to emotionally, to abuse. No, that should be the very, very last. It shouldn't even, right to the very end. It should be something which is locked in a box, and that box is the bottom of the sea, and the key is somewhere where you do not know, and you use it only as a last resort. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ourselves, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not punish us for the things that we do, and give us the strength, the forbearance, and the ability to not punish our children as well. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.